الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وإمامنا عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر سلام هي حتى مطلع الفجر صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال نبينا عليه الصلاة والسلام من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable العلماء الكرام my respected elders brothers in Islam I would like to request all of you to come close as much as possible inshallah ta'ala because it is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that in gatherings of knowledge they used to sit as close as much as possible so that the angels do descend to the back. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His sheer mercy and grace, He has blessed us with this beautiful month of Ramadan. The month of mercy, the month of the Quran, the month of forgiveness, the month of supplication, the month of i'tiqu min an-nar, elimination from hellfire, and so on. So many specialities, there are so many events that happened in this month, like Badr and so on. Subhanallah. I often keep saying that we need to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity of embracing this noble month, which is not given to many people across the world. Like last year we know that there were so many people who lived with us to embrace the noble month, to face or explore the month of Ramadan. But this year they are not with us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took them up to Him. And they are not able to explore Ramadan. And some other people are there as well. They live in the world today, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala haven't guided them enough to take the actual benefit what Ramadan has. Allah hasn't guided them enough. Allah has guided us to fast, to make use of Ramadan. Allah has enrolled us in, this is a camp. Ramadan is a camp. For us to get ourselves trained, Allah has enrolled us into that program. And we need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this great opportunity. We need to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times for giving us this great opportunity of exploring the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact accept it all. I often also say that Ramadan is like a winding toy. You know, you have a winding toy. Which has, you know, like a Mickey Mouse or something like that. You have something to pull in the back, you pull it and you leave it. It will keep moving for a while. Right? Ramadan is of the same nature. If we wind ourselves correctly, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to do so in the month of Ramadan, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's guidance perhaps, if we are capable of, you know, rejuvenating and invigorating our souls exactly the same way the Prophet ﷺ taught us in this month, in this very month, Ramadan, trust me, our souls would be good enough to run for the next 11 months without any problem. So this is a training camp. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to help you invigorate or train your soul to be good servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He has made all the measures for you so that there is no distraction for you whatsoever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one narration, he said, إِذَا جَاءَ رَمَضَانَ سُفْحِدَتِ الشَّيَاطِينُ وَمُرَدَتُ الْجِنِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if the month of Ramadan arrives, what happens? The devils are chained. The bad jinnat, they are chained. They are not capable to come distract you. What does that mean? He makes you possible all the means so that you can invigorate yourself without any distractions around you. So Allah has blessed us this beautiful month, let us make use of it. My respected elders and brothers of Islam, you know in football, we have a goal that is to win the game. Any sport you take, you have a goal that is to win the game. Right? In business, you have a goal that you want to become a rich man, a wealthy man. When we have families, the goal is to achieve happiness. Right? So everything a believer or a human being does in life, it has a goal. If you see, if you analyze further, anything that we as human beings do, it has a particular goal. As believers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also advises us that when we are going towards a goal, we need to know how to attain the goal as well. As I said, for example, if it's football, the goal is to win the game. How do you win the game? By scoring goals and defending the others from scoring the goal. If it's business, I mean, like, there are so many other principles of how to attain the goal of becoming a wealthy man, but one of those goals is to, control the demand and supply. Right? If it's family, we want to achieve happiness. The goal is to achieve happiness. And how to achieve that goal? Spend time with your family. Right? So everything that you do in life, you have a goal and you have how to achieve that goal. Ramadan likewise has a goal. And it also has how to achieve that goal as well. The guidance of the Prophet ﷺ is very clear with regard to these things. What is the goal in Ramadan and how to achieve that goal? My dear respected elders and brothers of Islam, what is the goal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to achieve in the month of Ramadan? Any guesses? What do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to achieve? Wants us to achieve in the month of Ramadan? He wants us to achieve two things, two very important things for our life. Number one, He wants us to increase our spirituality. He wants us to increase our spirituality. He wants us to make our life spiritual enough. And number two, He wants us to bring change within ourselves in terms of our behavior. Two things. Number one, increase our spirituality and make ourselves better in terms of spirituality. And number two, make ourselves better people in terms of our activity, character and conduct. Right? Today if I had to ask you, let us talk about the first thing first and then the second, inshaAllah ta'ala. Today if I had to ask you how to increase our spirituality, many of our answers would be that do good deeds, simple. Do good deeds. Do as good deeds as much as possible. Give charity, offer tarawih, do fasting, do that, do this, do good deeds, and on, right? But there is something much more important than doing good deeds to increase our spirituality. And that is abstinence from sin. Abstinence from sin. For example, I'll give you a simple example so that you can understand. Today we are people as such that we have two oceans within us. One ocean of good deeds and the other ocean of bad deeds. Right? If you have these two oceans, it does not cope together. There is no formula. For example, if you have a glass of water. You have a dirty glass of water a dirty glass of water resonates things, right? A dirty glass of water is things, hypothetically. And you take good water, good mineral water,
and you pour it into the dirty glass of water, what would happen to the glass of water? Would it become dirty? Would it become more dirty? Or would it be, or become good? Would it become good? It would become more dirty. The glass of water would become more dirty because of the dirty water which is there inside that glass. First of all, before we doing good deeds, likewise, we need to clear all the dirty water and then fill good water. We need to clear ourselves, we need to take off all the dirt, the things that we have within ourselves first, then fill it with good deeds. That is what needs to happen. Today, subhanAllah, we have people doing good deeds, and the very same people, they are doing the bad deeds as well. In the morning, we do fast. In the evening, in the night, we do sin. We pray, we offer salah, we make tawbah, we pray tahajjud. In the very next day, we do sin. It is wrong. The Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, when the great giants, they speak about them, they say that they were aqalluhum takallufan wa ab'aduhum iman. They were people as such that they did very little good deeds. You would not find them praying like 40 rakats of Taraweeh. You would not find them doing so many fasts and so on. But they were the furthest when it comes to committing the sin. If there is a narration that is talking about Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhim ajma'in committing sin, it would be one narration, you know. It would be one narration out of the ten. You could count on them. But today, the very same people who are in the first class in the masjid are the people who are committing the sins as well. It has become so prevalent in our society, committing sins. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, one of the closest Sahabi to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he lived for about 100 years after the Prophet peace be upon him. He was one Sahabi who lived for the longest amount of time after the Prophet peace be upon him, about 100 years. And when it came to his end times, he said beautiful words. What did he say? In fact, it's a warning for us. He said that today you are committing sin, considering it to be less consequential. But if we had to do the very same thing in the time of the Prophet peace be upon him, we would consider it to be grave sin, and we would consider that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would destroy us for that. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, in other words, he said that today you are considering sin to be very small. You are considering it to be very small. But the very same things that you are considering to be very small, if we had to do that in the time of the Prophet peace be upon him, we would consider it to be a grave sin. And we would consider it to be such that it would destroy us. SubhanAllah. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, think for a moment. Spend a moment and think about this. Imagine if Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu had to live in our time. Look at the things that we do, and what would he comment on it? If that was the time of the Tabi'un, the time of those people who we look up to, I mean, what would the opinion of those Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam be when it comes to today? SubhanAllah. We involve in a lot of things, and we need to get away from these things. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, on a daily basis, on a constant basis, we commit a lot of sins. Our tongue itself is enough to show the fragility, the magnitude of the sins we commit. We lie on a daily basis. Every single morning, analyze every single day in the evening when you go to bed, analyze the amount of lies that you have said to yourself today. A person calls us and we are like, I'm just getting out of home and we're still in the bed. That's a lie. SubhanAllah. There are so many lies which we say for ourselves without even recognizing that it is a lie and it is a sin in Islam. We get bite about people. Every single time we get together with people to communicate with each other, to talk with each other. What is it? It is talking about people. It is talking and backbiting about somebody else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has cursed two people in the Quran, and one of them are the people who backbite. Who backbite? We backbite on a daily basis. Whenever we get together with our friends, it's some gossip about somebody else outside. Subhanallah. There's a famous saying that goes that fools talk about people. Fools talk about people. And we involve in these discussions on a daily basis. We slander about people. That is our tongue. Take a look at the sins our eyes do. We involve in a lot of sins on a daily basis with our eyes. We look at things which are not permissible to look into. Even in Ramadan, subhanAllah. Even in Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in fact protect us all. This is a simple message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give us. Allah wants to give us advice that, you know what? You need to get rid from the things that you commit. One great giant in Islam, he gives us a message. He says, you know, when you commit sin, create remorseness within you. Create remorseness within you. Think of the sin to be a big thing, a big deal. Fudayl ibn Ayyad rahimahullah, he says, the more bigger you consider a sin to be, the more smaller it is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you consider the sin to be a huge deal for you, you consider it to be something, you have committed a small deed, small thing in fact, but you consider it to be something very bad, the more smaller it becomes in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, the more smaller you consider a sin to be, the more bigger it is in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more bigger it is. In Ramadan, let us create this remorseness within us to feel the guilt of the sins that we have committed. We need to feel guilty for the sins we have committed. That is very essential. Today the guilt is lost. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if a sin is what causes guilt in your heart, today the guilt is not there. We do so many sins and we don't feel remorse after committing that sin. We don't feel the guilt in ourselves. We as human beings, we are often committing sins, but that's okay. As long as we have the guilt and we take tawbah, we take sins here tawbah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu said, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّأُونَ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّأِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ. Indeed, the son of Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, are sinners. We are all sinning on a daily basis. And the best of those who sin are those who repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to bring that guilt in ourselves. Whatever sin that we commit in our daily life, bring about that guilt. My respected elders and brothers in Islam, today it has gone, sadly it has gone to an extent that people have started finding justification for the sins that they do. They do a sin, they try to justify. Recently I was in a convention, a small convention, in a college in Sri Lanka, in a corporate college in Sri Lanka, and I found out that there were women with hijab, they were fighting for homosexual rights. So this is something haram, which is a sin in Islam to commit. And the very same people who resonate themselves to be Muslims by wearing the hijab, the guilt is lost and they have gone towards justifying what they do. SubhanAllah. The very reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbids us from doing a sin is enough to stay away from it. We don't need justification. We don't need justification. If Allah says stay away from something, just stay away from it. Why is alcohol haram? Why do we need to know why is homosexuality haram? The very fact that Allah says it's haram is enough. Suppose you say the person you love the most, they say something, they command something for you to do. You would do it unconditionally without asking, why do I need to do it? Right? If you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you have love for Him the most, do whatever He says without asking Him, why should I do it? Some people have questions like, why do I need to pray? Why should I not do that sin? Why is it a sin? What is the logical reason behind it? People are moving towards that world today. We need to understand as sensible believers that the very fact that Allah has commanded you something is enough for you to abide by those laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Allah is testing us whether we are abiding by the illogical things that He gives us. Right? Certain commandments of Allah might be logical. There might not be any scientific reason that is being given behind that. But we are supposed to follow it still. To show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we will still follow Him no matter what. Majid Shaykh the Elder Barat Islam, the reminder that I would like to give you is about mercy and forgiveness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. We commit a lot of sins, but that's okay, that's okay. Allah is merciful, Allah is the most merciful. He has forgiven people, so many people before us. It is the sheer mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has in fact make us live today. The blessing that we enjoy today amidst all the things that we do. For the sins that we do outside, Allah should have punished us long time ago, and Allah hasn't done that. It is His sheer mercy. He's giving us chances. You know what? You still can come back. You can come back on track and you can be a better person. Many respected elders and brothers in Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah's mercy has 100 units. Allah's mercy has 100 units. And only Allah has used one unit in this entire world for us today. There is 99 units in the Day of Judgment for Allah to use to forgive us. He has reserved it for us in the Day of Judgment. That is how vast Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is. Many respected elders and brothers in Islam, many of us think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive us. Allah will not forgive us for the things that we've done. Let me continue. Anyway, I'm going to face the consequence that I'm going to face in the Day of Judgment. Why should I? Anyway, I'm going to face. So let me continue to be a bad man. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَخْلُفْ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الظَّالِمِينَ. Who will despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala other than those who are the misguided ones? Remember that if you are despairing the mercy of Allah, you are from those who are misguided. Don't despair in the mercy of Allah. Allah is ready to forgive you. Allah is waiting for you. Allah says, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, those who have wronged yourself. Oh, those who have done sins for yourself. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Indeed, Allah is forgiving all your sins. Allah is forgiving all your sins. Allah is waiting for us to forgive. We need to reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look in the annals of history, the people whom Allah has forgiven. Ikrimah radiallahu anhu, one of the arch enemies of Islam. A person who killed the cousin of the Prophet ﷺ badly, ruthlessly. He committed murder of one of the most beloved creations of the Prophet ﷺ, Hamza radiallahu anhu. When he sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah openly forgave him. Habbab ibn Aswad, who later became a Sahabi and became radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the person who killed the daughter of the Prophet peace be upon him. He was forgiven when he sought pardon from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, in the history, we have people, we have a person who killed 99 people, and he went and sought opinion from a scholar that, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me for the murder that I have committed of 99 people. That scholar said, you know what, Allah is not going to forgive you because you've killed 99 people. He killed that man as well. Then he went to another scholar seeking opinion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, forgive me for killing 100 people. That man said, you know what, we need to go to that place and seek forgiveness. On his way, he passed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was merciful enough. He descended down angels to see how long has he traveled. If he has traveled more than half towards seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah has forgiven him. If he hasn't, Allah hasn't forgiven him. He has traveled more than what he deserved. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him completely. That is the mercy of Allah. I don't think any of us in the world today hasn't committed sins like that man who has committed 100 murders. We can just reach out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and forgive us, and He will forgive us. Yesterday we stepped into the days of forgiveness, the 10 days of forgiveness. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ramadan is classified into three: the 10 days of mercy, the 10 days of forgiveness, the 10 days of elimination from hellfire. These 10 days which we are in right now, the 10 days which we are in right now, are the days of forgiveness. Let us involve in forgiveness, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you. رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَخَطَايَانَا كُلَّهَا يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, forgive all our sins, the sins that we have committed, the errors that we have committed for ourselves. Indeed, you are the most forgiving, you are the most merciful. Let us involve in this dua. The only thing that it deserves from us is sincere tawbah. Sincere tawbah. So let me tell you how to do sincere tawbah. How to involve in sincere repentance. Hubayl ibn Ayyab rahimahullah once again says, so there is three things that it deserves from us. Number one, we need to admit the sin with remorseness. We need to admit the sin with remorseness. When we commit a sin, accept the mistake that you've done. Accept that it is a sin in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have remorseness that, you know what, I've committed a sin that is grave. Have that remorseness in yourself. Fudayl ibn Ayyad rahimahullah again says that if you don't have this remorseness within yourself, it is the tawbah of those who lie, of the liars, if you don't have this remorseness. Number one, have that remorseness. Number two, seek tawbah. Sincere tawbah. Involve in dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will not do this. To forgive you for the things that you've done. And thirdly, make a commitment for yourself that you will never get back to it again. Make a commitment to yourself. Today, the 27th night, what happened? The night of Qadr. The night which is better than 1,000 months. Alif Shahr. What do people do? The masajid, it is full. Everybody is in the masjid. Involving in dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Raising their hands to Allah. Asking Allah to forgive them. But the very next day morning, they're back in the same sins again. This time with confidence that Allah has forgiven all their past sins. Now I have, subhanAllah, I have a clean slate in my account. My account of sins is clean. I can, you know, freshly focus in doing more things. That's the mentality of people today. 27 nights, it's full. The masajid are full. People are here making tawbah, asking, seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the very next day, they are back in town doing the same thing again. And you know, the masajid are empty on the 28th night. That is how it is, and that should not be the case. Every single 27th night, the count in the masjid needs to increase. The amount of people stopping sins needs to increase. But sadly, every single 27th night we face, the amount of sinners are increasing. Subhanallah. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expects us to do. It has become so prevalent that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once said that, you know, the end of time would be such that people will be doing so many sins that the best, you know who the best people would be? Guess who? Not those who do good deeds. The best people would be those who say that, you know what, you can do sins, but go do it privately. So go do it privately. Today we have a personal life for ourselves, just like how we have a public life. Some of us do things publicly and privately. That's not much, but we have a lot of people, including us, ourselves. We show ourselves to be good people outside. But when we turn into our private life, it's one of the worst that you can ever get. The life when we have, I mean when we spend alone, the life we spend to ourselves, it is worse. We are much worse than those who have a bad life outside and a bad life within themselves. We are much worse. Because we are being hypocritical, we are a hypocrite. We have double face to outside and a lie and a face to ourselves. Subhanallah. Let us reform ourselves, our private life. We fear the public, we don't fear Allah. We fear the public, we fear that what if I show this to the public, what would they say, what would that man say? But we are not feared or we are not terrified about what would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think of us when we commit the sin in private. We have lost Allah's fear, but we haven't lost the fear of public. What guarantee then do we have that we will not lose the fear of the public as well in the future? Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much as possible. That is one single thing that I would like to give you. Ramadan is a camp. Ramadan is a training camp. Just like how an army person would go into, you know, this training to get him to become a graduate of an army personnel. He has an intensive training. Ramadan is a very global training that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us to become better people, to make ourselves better people. Train yourself. Some people are fast today. We fast only for our stomach. We stay hungry from dawn to dusk, and that's it. What about our tongues fasting? What about every single limb in our lives fasting? Our hands need not to commit things that we commit in our daily lives, in the Ramadan. Our eyes need to be restrained from committing things that we commit in our daily lives. Our tongues need to stay away from things that we commit in our day-to-day life. So that we know the month of Ramadan is a training to keep ourselves binded up in the next 11 months. Science says that if a person goes through one particular training for 21 days, it suffices him to be, I mean, in the practice for whole of life. For whole of life. SubhanAllah. Some of the Sahaba radhiyallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, they got themselves used to dhikr so much in the month of Ramadan that even in their, even when they go to their washroom, they have to get hold of their tongue. I mean, in the usual day, they have to get hold of their tongue to not make themselves utter it in the washroom. That's what Ramadan could do to yourself. I mean, that was training that they got in Ramadan. We can make ourselves better people. Only what it deserves from us is an effort to make ourselves better. Don't make this Ramadan as such that, you know, at least, you know, one thing that we get rid of in this Ramadan, by the end of your life, after 60 years, you would have gotten enough 60 bad deeds. That's big enough. That's big enough to persuade Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so to say that, you know what, wallah, I tried my level best to change, but I did not get to change as you expect. But I did try, ya Allah, so please give me a chance. Do one good deed, develop one good deed every single Ramadan for your life, and that would be enough. After 6 years, you could go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, soak and say that, you know, Ya Allah, I was a weak servant of yours. I was a weak servant of yours. I was not capable of asking those Sahaba to one Allah ta'ala in his mind. I came in evil times, I came in times which were really bad. But I did really try my best to develop myself to become better people. Oh Allah forgive me. Oh Allah forgive me. Oh Allah send me to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. 99 units of mercy to forgive you in the day of judgment. Allah has 99 units to forgive you. Let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that's it. Let us get ourselves close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One thing and one good deed in Ramadan. We have 20 days in Ramadan. If each one of you develop one good deed and get rid of one sin in your life, that itself is a great success this Ramadan has given to you. Even if you pass away next year, you can tell, oh Allah, I was in the mission of making myself better. I was in a mission and I'm still in a mission, but I didn't get a chance, I didn't get time. Just like how Allah forgave that man who committed 100 murder and who was going on that mission to seek forgiveness, we are also in a mission next year. If we die, we were also in a mission. Allah can still forgive us like how He forgave that man. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us, all our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us fire servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask the very merciful, the very often forgiving, to make us people who are like those Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, like those five three disciples who came in the past. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us all in the gardens of paradise, just like how He unites us here. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all the things that we committed in the daylight. We committed in the night, without our knowledge, with knowledge something. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive all our sins. We ask all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our sins. We have renounced it. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our Ramadan. May He give us the opportunity to be rightful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.